You know the story of Job. James evidently thought the people he was writing to would know the story of Job. Look in Job, in James chapter 5, and look at verse 11 when he says, you have heard of the perseverance of Job. And I make that same assumption, that you know somewhat about the things that Job endured. So we don't spend a lot of time talking about the wealth that he had and how in 45 seconds you can read of how he lost every earthly possession that he had, and then he lost all of his children. And the next chapter, whenever the devil comes back, having taken away all of the earthly possessions from him, and afflicts his body with sores and boils and sickness. This man Job, where does he come from? Well, Job evidently lives before there ever was the Jews down in the land of Egypt, for he lived 140 years after he had endured all of those things that are in the first part of the chapter, in the first part of the book. And so Job lives during what's sometimes called the patriarchal age, when people live hundreds of years. And yet you know the story, do you not? Wonder how the world looked at Job. I know how his friends looked at him. I know how the devil looked at him. Job's friends looked at him and thought the adversity that he had in his life had come upon him because he was evil. And for 35 chapters, his friends just come and they hammer Job and say, Job, if you just repent, if you're an evil man, Job. I know how the devil looked at him. The devil looked at Job and said, the only reason, God, that he's serving you is because you built a hedge around him. Child of God, you need to hear about the hedge God has around his people. The devil says you built a hedge around Job, and the only reason that he's serving you is because of the material blessings. Can I read to you how God saw Job? Job chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The man was blameless and upright, one that feared God and shunned evil. I mean, you look at what Job is like, and you'll see the blessings that he has. In fact, there is none like him. Verse 8 says, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth. Blameless, upright, one who fears God and shuns evil. Twice in this chapter, we see the God of heaven look down at a man that's on this earth and sees him so differently from the way that other individuals saw him, different from the way his own friends saw him. And yet think of the adversity that Job had in his life. Could I point out to you that when Job lived, there was not even one book of the Bible that had been written. That's remarkable, isn't it? As remarkable as the faith of David is, who lived in the early part of his life at a time when he only had 7 books of the Bible to read, Job did not even have 1 book of the Bible to read. And however God revealed himself to individuals in times like that, even his faith becomes more remarkable. You think of all that we know about him and the adversity that was in his life. You think about the God of heaven and look at all of the words that are used to describe him. He is blameless and upright, and he fears God and he shuns evil. And to that we've added that which we can look at, because it's not mentioned in the first chapter, and that is the way he reacts to adversity. Where does this come from? And more importantly, what is there in the life of Job that will help us understand who he is and what he was? Do you not understand that the words of Job manifest the character of Job? That's perhaps true of you. Jesus says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And then Jesus also says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, if lying and bitterness comes out of your mouth, guess what? You've got a lying, bitter heart. You need to understand that. And if there is an listen to this, on the positive side, if there is an absence coming out of your lips of praising God and enjoying using our lips to praise God, you got a hole in your heart and you better start working on it. But there was not a hole in Job's heart. Job loved the Lord and Job served the Lord, and Job outwardly manifested by his life in the sacrifices that he gave that's mentioned even in this book. The character of Job. Here's what I want us to do in today's lesson. I want us to look at Job's words and find out what Job was like. We see the fruit of it. We see that God gives this long list. What was there in the heart of Job that allowed him to have the person that when God looked down said, there's not anybody on this earth like him? This list obviously will not be exhaustive. But there are some lessons that we need to learn. Job lived, thousands of years before Jesus ever came. And we live thousands of years after his birth. But there was that which was in the heart of Job that needs to be in our heart. A lesson from words that were spoken 5,000 years ago. Job, what are you like? In the first place, I suggest that we look at Job chapter 1, verse 21, where Job talks about his entrance into the world and his exit from the world. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who says this? He's a man who has just lost, look at chapter 1, verse 3, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, and then loses he loses the children that he had. How are you going to react, Job? I know how his wife reacted. Curse God. Job understands something that you and I need to understand. The words in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7 that says, we brought nothing in the world and it is for sure we'll take nothing out. You hear that? Job, you've lost everything. Ever have financial problems? Ever had reverses in your life? But Job's problem is greater than just the loss of all of these earthly possessions. Now his own physical body is being afflicted. And Job says, this I know. I will not take one thing out of this world with me. You know how man can be spiritual? Do you understand that the Bible says that cares and riches will choke the Word of God out of your life? Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13, in the parable where the seed was sown and there were the thorns there are riches and they will choke the Word of God out of your life. Unless you look at every possession that you have and say, that's it. When I die, it ceases to exist. We need to understand the fleeting nature of material gain and the fame and notoriety that might come from it. We need to ponder the question that God asked that farmer who said, I'll build bigger barns, Luke chapter 11. And the Lord says, you are fool, don't you know? You're going to die this night. And then whose things will... Who will these things belong to? Rich farmer? They don't belong to you at all. You've never seen a U-Haul trailer hitched behind a hearse. Think that went through. I came into this world with nothing. And I am leaving this world with nothing. You and I need to have an appreciation of the fleeting nature of the provisions that we have and the emptiness of all of the material things that they are in our life. Proverbs chapter 23 says, and listen to this, when you think about folks in Palm Beach, when you think about people at work who make more money than you do, when you think about people who have the better cars than you have, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. The king's ivory throne and his gold-covered table and all of the finery that he has, deception. Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Stop it. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. No wonder. No wonder there is this admonition in the Bible over and over again that says, labor not for meat that perishes, saying there's something better than this. The woman at the well, thinking that her life consisted of the water that she got out of that well. And when Jesus talked about eating his flesh and having eternal life, people didn't understand the spiritual water that he offered the woman or the spiritual blessing that he offers us in the spiritual side of life. And he says, it's temporary. And it is meaningless. A friend of mine borrowed a Volkswagen I had in New Zealand. His wife was driving, and he was driving the car in front, and she wrecked the car. My car. You know how you can bend in the front end of a Volkswagen with no engine up front? I had one of those. But he said, Dan, I want to tell you something. When I was running back looking at that car, I didn't give one thought at all to your car. All that mattered was how's Nancy. Will we ever learn what Job's very first words in the Bible are? I came into this world naked, and I'm going to leave that same way. We make idols, not out of trees. I got corrected the last time I said, held out a dollar bill and said, here's something made from the wood of a tree and it becomes our idol. Somebody informed me later that's linen paper or something like that. But they're those paper idols that we worship. And before these things possess us, God give us the wisdom to possess them. Before they rule us, God give us the ability to rule them. And the way to do that is Job and all of his wealth, the renowned man of the East, the way the Bible describes him, one of the rich men of the East. And Job says, doesn't count a thing. Secondly, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You think that actually is found in the early part of the chapter whenever he's discussing things in the Bible, with his wife, when his wife was saying, curse God and die. And he does say some profound things there, and he says, if I serve God, should I expect to have good come into my life? Should I not also expect evil to come into my life? But I love what he says in chapter 13, verse 15, when he says, even if he slays me, I will trust him. You see, you and I need to recognize that this is a part of the heart of Job. It's why God looked down and said, there's not anybody on earth like him. And if you want to be like a man of God, that God looks down and says, I don't know of anybody like him. I don't know of anybody in the workplace like you. I don't know of anybody in the community like you. The God of heaven can look down. And here's Job and says, underlying my life is my trust in God. Now, Job doesn't understand what's happening. As far as I know, Job didn't read chapters 1 and 2, and he may have never read chapters 1 and 2. You got to think about that. Job may not know about the dialogue between the devil and God and all of the adversity and where that adversity comes from. Job may have known, but we just assume that he knows because it's in chapters 1. But hello, when it's happening, had not yet been written. And if they're trying to figure out, why are these wretched things happening in my life? And some people at a time like that will become angry at God and shake their fist at God. And Job, on the other hand, and this is what makes Job different. Job says, I don't understand life, but here's what I do. I understand the nature of my God, and if my God were to slay me, I would still trust Him. You see, faith causes us to keep on trusting. That's what faith is. If you can see the way clear, you don't need faith. But faith steps in that void when in our life we can no longer walk by sight as though we could walk by sight any time in our life. But faith steps into our life at that point when we can say, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's Job's heart. How much is that my heart? How much of that is your heart? Young people, you are right now forming values in your life. You're right at the threshold of making profound decisions that will impact you the rest of your life. And I beg of you, to do that which those of us who are of older sometimes struggled to even make these decisions because we waited too late in our life to try to begin to make them. Not impossible, just much harder. Have the heart of Job. Whatever happens in my life, though he slay me, I will trust him. There's a third thing Job said. And that's found in Job 14 and verse 1 that says, man that is born of woman is a few days, and those days are filled with trouble. Is a few days and full of trouble. We think we're going to live forever. Isn't that remarkable? Why have you not made out a will? Because that announces that I'm terminal. I don't want to think about that. And some of you have done this. I've not done it, but you've made already provision for funerals, your own funerals, so your family doesn't have to make those provisions for you. Job did not look at life as consisting of the abundance of things that he had on this earth, and he did not see life as something that was just going on and on and on. Job says, you're born, you have a few years, and in the rest of that chapter he says, if you cut down a tree, that tree will come alive again, and if I am cut down, my prayer to God is that I will come alive again. How brief is your life? Are you middle-aged yet? Are you middle-aged yet? A lady in New Zealand went to see the doctor. And the doctor said, Mrs. Whitlock, and that's her real name, he says, you have some problems. You are a middle-aged, obese, diabetic. Don't you just love doctors? She was rather offended. And he says, wait a minute, you are diabetic? Oh, yes. And we've been on the scales. Oh, yes, I admit that. But I'm not middle-aged. And the doctor said, how old do you think you'll be when you die? You want to answer that? If you're 35, you're halfway, that's middle age. That's scary, isn't it, Chris? I know you're not 35, but you're getting close. Just a very short years away from being middle age. We don't think that way. The days of our years are 70. You know how difficult that is to realize? Job says, life is short. I wish we had more time to point out the fact that Job did not believe in abortion. Job chapter 2, Job says, may the day perish when I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived. Job says, when I was conceived, it was I. And Job in his despair says, I wish that night in which it was said, a male child is conceived, may that day be darkness, may God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. Why did I not perish from the womb? That's in verse 11. And if I had perished from the womb, from the day that I was conceived, I would be at peace. You know what Job thought? Job knew that he was Job before he came out of the womb, and he knew that if he had died when he was within the womb, from the time that he was conceived, he still would have existed. I would have been laying in peace where I am. Job believes that life begins at conception, and we only put that because that's a problem that impacts us in our own day. Brevity of life? Yeah. At best a few days. But there's another world that has endless days. Do we not sing? In the land of endless days lies the city foursquare. Job, how are you spiritual? I'm spiritual because I understand that I'm only going to be here on this earth for such a very, very short time. And I'm going to make the most of my life while I am here. Later in the book of Job, Job talked about the kind of life that he had lived and the way he was living his life. He says that when I lived among people, young people saw me and they respected me. The aged arose and stood, and people put their hands on their mouths and hushed because of my grandeur. And then he said, this is from chapter 29, verse 12. I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless and the widow and the ones who had no helper. The blessings of a perishing man came upon me. I caused the widow's heart to sing. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. Job, you just got a few days. How are you going to spend it? I'm not going to waste it on myself. There are poor people who need me. And think of the poverty, not just of physical poverty, but the poverty of spiritual life that they have. They do not have in their life, or the poverty they do have, the life they do not have. But on a very practical level, I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. How compassionate are you? See, the opposite of compassion is being self-centered. When I see other people that have needs and I fail to reach out and to try to help them, I haven't learned the very thing that Job learned, and that is, life is of such few days that I need to invest every moment that I have on this earth in trying to better the lives of others. And instead of being filled with contempt, when we see people that are afflicted, when we see people who are downtrodden, we need to be eyes to the blind and feet to the deaf. To the lame, I mean. You and I need to think about this. And young people, if you put that in your heart right now, it'll change the course of your life. You'll see people all the rest of your life who others treat with contempt, and you need to be the one that says, that person's downcast and he's outtrodden, he's on the fringe out here, I'm going to live the few days that I have taking care of them. And the widows? Job said, I was kind to the widows. Pure religion and undefiled is that individual who visits the fatherless and widows and keeps himself unspotted from the world. We need to number our days, to use the words of the psalmist, because our days are numbered and we need to use every one of them the very best that we can. Job made the most of this life, and that included helping others. I put Proverbs 31:1 here, not because it exactly fits in this place, but because there's a place for this in our society. In a world that's filled with immorality, Job says, I'm not going to waste my few days on this earth with immorality. And I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look at a woman to lust after her. I address specifically every man in this audience because of the very nature of the way that God has made you. And urge you to hear the words of Job, knowing that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Job said, here's what I want to do. I have a covenant with my eyes that I'll look away instead of look on. Job recognized the brevity of life. And finally, Job gets it together. After Job goes through all of this adversity, you get to chapter 42, and Job said, I was rash. I said some things I should not have said in relationship to this. God comes and confronts Job, and Job recognizes he knows nothing. You read those last three or four chapters of the book of Job, and God begins to ask Job, how big is this earth? And where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And what's the measurements of my creation? And do you know the treasures of snow? And can you control the animals that are on this earth? And on he goes, and he asks Job just question after question, and Job has to admit, I know nothing when compared to God. And Job said, the arrogance that I had when it came to this matter, I repent. I was wrong about all of this. Because you see, you and I, like Job, must recognize that there is a God, and that God is sovereign. He has made us. We didn't make ourselves. We're the sheep of His pasture. This is not our world, it's His. And He's placed us on it as His sheep to be blessed by Him. And you and I understand, if we're like Job, I don't know which way to go. It's not in man that walketh to direct his step. I like what Solomon said. Ecclesiastes 12:13. I love the King James. It says, the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments. The word duty is in italics, so the Hebrew says, the whole of man is to fear God. And the New King James says, here is man's all. Fear God and obey Him. That was Job, wasn't it? May we listen to the words of Job. There aren't that many that we've looked at. Four statements of Job. But may we understand that these thoughts and insight into the heart of Job, looking at the words of Job, will give us motivation to have values in this world. I hope you're a Christian. I hope that you'll let God look down on you, and if you're not a Christian, and you'll let God change you because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 3:16, you're going to make up your mind that says, I'm going to follow Him. And you could make that decision this very morning. And when you've confessed that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, then you can be baptized. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Acts 22:16 says, and then He'll add you to His family, to the church, and then God